Gospel reading is from John's Gospel in the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through the Word, without whom not one thing came into being. What has come into being was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Christ was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own did not know him. But to all who received him, who believed, who trusted, he gave power to become children of God, born not of blood or will of the flesh, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. In our hearing, our speaking, our living, may God's word grace. Rabbi Nahum Ward Lev is a teacher, a spiritual director, and writer who lives and works in Santa Fe. Drawing from the wisdom of ancient rabbinical writings, he talks about the importance of dialogue in the life of faith, beginning with Scripture itself. He points out the creation is presented as a dialogue, a relationship between the Creator and the created. He goes on to say, if all creation is a conversation initiated by God, then the pathway to God is to join the conversation. In Genesis, God speaks the world into being. Some interpretations say God sings the world into existence. And all parts of that world, human, animal, plants, all join in from the beginning in this cosmic conversation. John's gospel begins not with the manger scene, but Jesus present at creation. At that opening dialogue, Jesus is the Logos, the active Word. And in him, God comes into the world in a new way. Physical flesh and blood, vulnerable, and comes to further that conversation that began at Earth's dawning. The Word took on flesh and dwelt among us. It literally means pitched its tent among us. As people of faith, we believe that God's Word dwells still with us. The language is lovely and poetic and evocative, but there are serious implications to the divine dwelling among us. We're dwelling, not visiting. It connotes an ongoing relationship, an involvement, a commitment. God doesn't just occasionally drop down from the sky. God doesn't hover over a bit and then move on. God is dwelling. Living with, breathing with us. God is in the waiting room, in the boardroom, in the family dining room, and God is in the streets, in the dark of night, and the sunrise on the ocean, in our neighborhood, dwelling, not passing by, not observing. This implies a presence and intimacy that can make us squirm sometimes, but that's okay. Dwelling among us. Not just me, not just you, not just those people. The focus is not on personal piety or personal salvation. God does not set up shop with only certain chosen ones or deserving ones or the smartest ones. Among us, all of us collectively. The Word dwelling among us means we're meant to struggle with how to be human together, how to recognize the holy in each person and creature in nature. And that can make us squirm too. It means we're all part of the grand conversation. We all belong in that conversation. We can choose to opt out, but the invitation stands. I don't often do resolutions for New Year's, but I do sometimes begin the year with something of a mantra, maybe a phrase from scripture or a poem or some other inspired writing. And I'll spend time with that and come back to it off and on throughout the year. So I've spent time in the last week or so considering what I might do differently, how I might move differently in the world if each day that was my mantra. God, the sacred, the divine, the holy, the spirit is dwelling here now among us. Theoretically, of course, I already believe that. But to be fully, consciously, intentionally aware of it every day, that's another matter. Doesn't mean that everything that happens is God ordained or that every person I encounter is good or even likable or that I am. But insists that every day, every encounter holds the possibility of something holy and good coming from it. It means living out Epiphany. That's the season we enter in now. Epiphany. God is revealed in these beautiful glimpses and unexpected places and unlikely scenarios. Tomorrow is a feast of Epiphany when many, many churches remember the wise ones traveling by star, looking again and again for royalty and power and impressive displays, and discovering again a humble, poor family trying to take care of a newborn and recognizing in that the divine. This season is an invitation to the conversation, to listen to the ordinary, to listen to one another and to creation, understanding that anywhere, any moment, we too might discover an encounter with the divine. An invitation to look harder at the mundane and the troublesome, to reject cynicism and despair, because the mundane and the troublesome are some of God's favored venues. Looking and listening for where God is means not looking only at one single person or day or action or event, but trying to see the web, the interconnections. Glennon Doyle Melton shared the story of once meeting with her son's fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Chase. She wanted to try and get a better understanding of this of the new math. Of the different way of doing long division. Her son got it, but she didn't. So she wanted the teacher to tutor her so she could help her son. And they began to talk. And during this conversation, Melton learned that every Friday afternoon, this teacher asked her students to take out a piece of paper and write down the names of four children they'd like to sit with the following week. The children know that those requests may or may not be honored, but they do it every week. And she asks the students to nominate one student who they think has been an exceptional classroom citizen that week. And everybody anonymously hands it to the teacher. And every afternoon, on every Friday afternoon, when they're gone, she sits down, puts the slips of paper out in front of her, and she looks for patterns. Who's not getting requested by anyone else? Who can't think of anyone to request? Who never gets noticed enough to be nominated? Who had a million friends last week and none this week? Chase's teacher's not looking for a new seating chart or a new exceptional class citizen. She's looking for lonely children, for those who feel left out, for those who are struggling to connect with others. and who might slip through the cracks. She's discovering whose gifts are going unnoticed by their peers, who's being bullied, and who's doing the bullying. This wise teacher knows that, as Glennon Melton says, all violence begins with disconnection. Everyone needs to know they belong. In these days when bullying is rewarded and peacemaking is frowned upon, when everything is seen as competition and collaborative efforts seem to fall apart, maybe our calling in these days is to be a little more like Ms. Chase. Be watchful of the connections and who's in the conversation and who isn't. In these days when the glorious, joyous conversation between God and all God's creatures threatens to be drowned out by the sounds of plowshares being beaten into swords, by the sound of anti-Semitism and anti-Muslim violence, when the beautiful song of God's interconnected, interwoven creation is being shouted down by chants of build the wall, when creation itself is being sold for profit and crying out, it is on us, God's people of faith, to lift up God's conversation, God's holy word, God's insistence that we honor the interconnectedness of all creation. God's call for all creation to learn to live in right and just relationships. We belong in the conversation. The word made flesh dwelling among us means we all belong, even when we don't know what to say or what to do, even though we feel like our actions won't amount to much. We belong in it. If we bow out of the conversation, the loudest and meanest voices will win. To be in God's conversation may mean learning new words and new ways. Past week, we had the great pleasure of spending several days with our almost one-year-old grandson. What an amazing thing to watch again a child learning how to figure out how to relate to this world, how to join the conversation, how to pull himself up to try and see somebody or something eye to eye. And he's at that wonderful stage where he'll come out with a stream of babbling that makes no sense, and every adult in the room is mimicking right back to him. And he's come out with the occasional mama and dada. But somebody over Christmas had given him this little ball that has Elmo on one side and Cookie Monster on the other. And you shake it, and either Elmo or Cookie Monster will say things that you can sort of kind of understand. And you shake Elmo, and I think he says, tickle me. And you shake Cookie Monster side, and he says, sometimes he says, shaky, shaky. So here's Will babbling, saying all of this stuff to our delight. And then one morning at breakfast, suddenly looking at us and saying, shaky, shaky. So, of course, we were all every day saying, shaky, shaky, hoping he would do it again. Odd first words, but we'll take it. And we are all learning again in our time to figure out how to be in conversation with God and God's creation, how to lift up a holy word amidst some very unholy things happening. God invites us to do that work. What will lifting up the sacred dwelling among us look like this year? How will we join the conversation? The word that has become flesh, that is dwelling among us, challenges us not simply to know what we're against, not just to name the evil, but to help create the good, to name it, to celebrate what is life-giving. Whatever this new year brings, God is already there, dwelling among us. Amen.